For many lives, one is acquiring these tendencies through actions and experience and upbringing and the circumstances around. Everything is contributing to have a personal constitution which is different from everybody else. At the level of the intrinsic truth, we are all same. But when it comes to manifestation, we all are different. Each person is different. And thus, according to our particular constitution, our path towards that goal gets stopped. It is not a question of an imitation. The goal is to be seen, and then knowing the principle that we have to approach the goal, one should go according to the path that is constitutionally right for that person. So otherwise it is, if you make a regimentation in that everybody has to do this to realize the goal, then it doesn't work. It is not possible to put everyone into the one and same detailed discipline. It is going to be counterproductive if one goes to work like that. We can, of course, have some general rules depending on what is conducive to a majority of people. But then again, it is something that works for a large number of population, many people, but certainly and not for everyone. There will be always exceptions. So one has to take, as they call, path of least resistance. Forcibly trying to mold oneself into some other design, it doesn't work. Sometimes a nice example or analogy is given to illustrate this point, that just as on the circumference of a circle there are infinitely many points, for all of them the center is same. Imagine that center to be the goal. For everyone the center is same, but the shortest path for everyone is according to the radius. The radius that connects that point to the center. And we can see that as many points, so many radii will be there. Infinitely many ways are there to go to the center. And one follows and should follow the path that is congenial to one. Also, we saw here that the expressions in various people who are illumined, there too the expression of that illumination differs. Like there are, suppose all these bulbs, they have different colored glass shells around them. Then if it is blue, you will see the blue light. Somewhere it is red, it will be the red light. So it is according to the color of the outer cover, the light will be expressed there. So our personalities can be considered, imagined as the outer shells, the outer glasses. They have different hues. They correspond to the difference in constitution. And the illumination is same, but the outer expression becomes different. So that is where the quality of outer expression is same, but the still the expression differs in details like color. There is no darkness. All are illuminated, but the nature of each illumination is different from other. One common thing is told here in all these struggles. That is the next verse, the 34th verse in the third chapter. Indriyasyendriyasyarthe ragadvesho vyavasthitau tayorna vashamagachet tauhyasya paripanthinau. In respect of each of the senses, attachments and aversions to objects are fixed. One should not come under their sway, for they are the impediments in one's way. That all will be struggling to realize the goal. All will have different expressions, but one common thing in that will be the attempt to at freedom. And how this attempt will be, the Lord tells Arjuna that look, the natural tendency will be for the sense organs, they will get attracted or repelled, attracted to or repelled from the sense objects, depending on their nature. I mean, whatever at a particular time appears to be pleasant, the sense organ gets drawn to that. Like eyes, you see something very pleasant, then the eyes will get attracted, drawn towards it. Now, after eyes have seen it for a minute, say twice or three times, then the eyes feel tired with that, and then they turn the sight from something else. That is why you see the advertising screens, and they keep on changing every time. Why? Because the same thing doesn't hold attraction for the eyes for too long a time. So they keep on shifting that, changing that, because that attraction and repulsion is there always. It is very important to note that we always think of getting, how to overcome the attraction. It is not only attraction, but repulsion also is an important thing to overcome. Attraction and repulsion. The one thing, suppose you find that something is very congenial, something that is very helpful to you. Still, if you are going towards that out of attraction, then that attraction will not last. Even in the case of some spiritual experience, you go to some, a very nice, serene, religious place, and you feel it is so nice, beautiful, you feel the serenity of it, and that confusion takes place. What is attracting you there? Is it the spiritual benefit of it? Is it the progress that is attracting you? Is the progress that is making you glued there? Or just a feel of attraction. Very nice, you know. I went there, it is so calm and so beautiful. I saw those in the Vedanta chapel, those nice writings. And in general, I like that, very beautiful. Because it is just the sense perception and its very nature, you know, is like that. That it attracts you sometimes, repels you from some other time. A very nice singer girl I know, and I used to praise her, wow, you sing so nicely, wonderful, and I like to hear you. She told that, go and tell that to my mom and my dad and other people at home. Why? Because whenever I keep on singing, they scream at me, enough, how long are you going to sing? Is it not 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour, it's more than enough. Now shut up. So, it is, because the same thing over and over again doesn't always hold attraction. Attraction and repulsion are like that. So the one who wants to focus on the goal should be wary of this thing, that certain things will be attracting, certain things will be repelling, certain again those will keep on changing their nature. So one should not fall prey to those things. One should be aware, where, what is my destination, I should go there. Just as when you are traveling, on both sides you will see different scenes. Some will be very, you will appreciate what a beautiful mountain it is. That it is those who do not live in the mountains, for them the mountains, they are considered very nice, beautiful place to go and see. But those who live there, they want to go and see the nice wide plains. It is, I had experienced this when I had gone to Himalayas. I was so charmed by the beauty and that wonderful snow-clad peaks and those nice trees, and the landscape was so charming. And I told one of the persons staying there that, oh, how blessed you are, you get to live here all the time. And he said, oh no, don't say that. It is, I am not at all interested in staying here. What to do? I am forced to live here. I go away. As soon as it is a bit of vacation or something, I run to the plains and live there for a little while peacefully. So it is, the attractions and repulsion will go on in life. The question is that one should not fall prey to them. That is the nature of the spiritual practice, whatever may be your constitution. The differences will be there, but in all these struggles, the principle remains the same, that whatever binds you, try to get rid of that bondage. And what is the bondage? As we saw earlier also, our nature is perfect. Our nature is all-pervading. There is no attraction or repulsion for us. It is only in ignorance we have this feel, I and the world are separate. And immediately now the connections get formed. That is the bondage. The separation brings the idea that somebody is my wife, somebody is my husband, some place is my village or my country, some place is liked by me, some other place is not liked by me. The attractions and repulsions start as soon as this idea of separation comes. In that oneness there is no attraction or repulsion. It is the state of peace and bliss. No running about. The separation that I am so and so immediately creates an infinite number of associations called mine. You know, I immediately gives rise to the idea of mine. This is mine, this is not mine. So let me hold on to what is mine and also try to add, go on adding to that. The dissatisfaction is this a constant, they say it is a constant curse on our attractions and repulsions, never satisfied till we become the whole universe, till we become liberated. This never ends. Mine, this be mine, then I want to add more to it. I have one house already for me, but you know what to speak, you know, where to invest now. Let me invest in real estate, so buy a few more houses. Then these are, no, but you know, there are so many other houses left. I should have a monopoly on all the housing industry, so buy more, get more, and it expands. One wants to expand, never ending. So, it is, why this is so? The real inner cause is because, really speaking, we are everything. And that is why this desire to add to mine keeps on coming. No, mine, this be mine, that be mine. In 16th chapter, Lord explains that how this tendency of separation gives rise to all what we call demonical tendencies. And one of the characteristics of this demonical tendency is go on acquiring more and more, more and more. Today I got this. Adya maya labdham, then tomorrow I will acquire this more, day after tomorrow I will add this also to me, and like that it goes on unendingly. So therefore one should be aware of the divine nature and beware that these are the sources of bondage, attractions and repulsions. So one must be wary of that. Do not get involved in them. Do not get trapped in them. The attractions and repulsions, they are the big traps. Both are traps. In Puerto Rico, I saw that there is a very big old sea fort. It is very nicely built, and there are two forts there. One is the big fort, and another is a little farther away in the sea. So both of these, attracts in various ways the army. And when the army starts, the army in the fort starts its cannons, then they run away. They get repelled. But when they get repelled, as they pass near the smaller fort, that is the escape, they think that that is the nice escape route. And when they pass from there, then the guns in the other fort, they start. And then whosoever is trying to escape, they are vanquished or killed there. So that is how the attractions and repulsions, both are like that, traps. Sometimes you get trapped because of attraction, sometimes one gets trapped because of repulsion. So when one sometimes feels, oh, I am getting terribly attached to it. Attraction is there. Let me get away from it. Repulsion. Repulsion is another trap. Not that repulsion is equanimity. We have to attain equanimity. Neither attraction nor repulsion. Because both of these, they bind. You must have, many of you, I am sure, heard the that last December retreat on Vedanta Comes to Hollywood. One of the themes in that was the walking on the razor's edge. You go here, on one side you fall, on the other side also fall, walking on the razor's edge, very narrow. So, if you try to avoid the attraction and therefore go to repulsion, you fall in the other trap. So, both are traps. Attraction is a trap, hatred is also equally, if not more, a hideous trap. Both are traps, attractions as well as repulsion. Lord has therefore mentioned them that they have this indriyasyarthe raga dvesho vyavasthito, rag and dvesh. That the sense organs will have naturally an affinity, attraction or repulsion, a sense of disgust, I don't want it. The sense organs have that. This is just a mechanism. And not that you have to get controlled by it. It is your instrument, our body, our sense organs. They are Triveni, whose instruments? They are our instruments. They should be under our control, not we in their control. So, you have to know that it is a magnet, so that will attract it. So, you should not, you know when to go there, when not to go there. It is, you should not get compelled by those forces in the life and try to be very on your guard about that. Because he says, Tau hi asya paripanthinav. Soon, after two verses, we will see that the Lord will be giving answer to one of the questions of Arjuna. I think we will study it sometimes later, not today at least. But there also, he says that know that they are your enemies. This attraction and repulsion of the sense organs, they are the enemies of us. And so, one must be very, very careful. They are enemies. Know that they are enemies. Tau hi asya paripanthinav. Paripanthi is a special type of they are the highway robbers. Paripanthi is it is said are impediments in one's way, but another meaning of this word paripanthi is a robber. Panthi means the one who is going on the path is called panthi. Is the person is going on the path. And those who obstruct that path, the robbers there, they can loot you. And so you must be very careful and not to get into spell of these robbers. They have set traps there. So these robbers will just woo you into those traps and then finish you off. So therefore, Lord Krishna wants that, yes, your particular constitution you must follow in doing spiritual practice. But remember, this one principle that is common for all, that is the principle of spiritual practice. He will come to that again and again, that your mode of practice will vary. Your particular deity that you worship, that will vary. Your ways of meditation, they will again be different. So many different paths will be there. There is no end to them. But this common principle works for all of them, that remember, there will be this attraction and repulsion working over the sense organs. Do not get caught in them and know that they are your enemies. So that is the very important teaching here. Now the next teachings is again very important, and in for Arjuna and everybody who is like Arjuna in this situation is this teaching is very important. Shreyan swadharmo vigunah paradharmasvanushthitat swadharme nidhanam shreyah paradharmo bhayavah. Better is one's own duty, though defective, than another's duty well performed. Death in one's own duty is better. The duty of another is fraught with fear. The translation does not convey everything that is contained in it. And not to blame the translation as such, because translations are always, they lack something. It is especially when you translate something from Sanskrit into English, the connotation of each Sanskrit word has many, many different shades, lot of richness, and when you want to translate it in a very short, you know, a few lines, like two lines for the original, and so you want to compress the translation also in two or three lines, it is almost impossible to bring all the connotations in this original verse. So, it says that the swadharma here, it is given as duty. The word duty is very significant. It comes again and again in Bhagavad Gita. The duty here, it is a very comprehensive concept. Duty is something that you need to do for your spiritual or in general evolution in life. You must evolve to higher and higher levels of awareness. What makes you evolve to higher levels of awareness? That is your duty. Whatever work that has come your way, that again is your duty. So one may say, how these two concepts, they are related, or are they same or not? Both are coherent, and I should say they go together. The idea that you will find in Bhagavad Gita all the time is that whatever work, your particular situation, your aptitude, your skills, the requirement of the surroundings has brought to you, you have to convert that duty into your spiritual practice. Like somebody may be a very skillful farmer, but because there is not much scope of earning in the farming, that gentleman took another job. We had in one of our centers a cook at our center. He was a cook. So he was employed there as to cook our meals and all food for so many people staying there. We monks, some many other workers, guests. Then there were there are the dorms for students who stay and go to different colleges. And so he was working as a cook there. Used to cook all the meals and breakfast and all for about 100 people every day. So, and it is, you know, in such a situation, it is not possible to satisfy all tastes. It is, you ask any dorm how the food is. Now, it is because what the cooks cannot do much there. it is all 100 people are going to eat or 500 people are going to eat, so the food has to be like that. But when we used to tell the cook, hey, what have you done? Can't you do anything better than this? Or the same, it doesn't taste good. Cook better. What, you don't know the cooking? And then he would get a little bit excited and would say that, oh, don't judge me by my cooking. I am not basically a cook at all. I am a farmer. But what to do? There is nothing much, no income in farming. So I have come here to take up a job as a cook. Now, his duty is cooking. Although he has skills in farming, but what can he do? The farming is that there is no demand for the farm products, or he is not making enough money doing farming. So therefore he has no choice but to take up this cooking. So cooking becomes now his duty there, that he has to do the cooking as good as he can. And make that cooking as the spiritual practice. Convert that cooking into spiritual practice. Somebody may have the duty of working in a bank. Now that working in the bank has to become the spiritual practice. So various works we will be doing. And each work, like that cook thought that farming is so nice, cooking is a terrible job. We all by constitution think that somebody else's job is better than my job. It is, there is lot more scope to evolve spiritually in the other person's job. Because when we look at our life and feel that we are not progressing as much, then we try to blame it on the work that we have got. See, in my work, you know, I am an ordinary housewife. And you know, a housewife means a thankless job. It is, you do all the things at home, work all the time, and because you don't directly earn any money, people feel that you are doing nothing. So it is, what kind of work it is? I should have become actually, I think, a school teacher. It is no use just working at home. I should have become a school teacher. School teachers feel that they are so tied up in their work, very difficult to find time and to do any meaningful spiritual practice. Even when they come from home, always the thoughts are still making rounds in the head. The other people, how nice it is, you know, that they do the work. Some engineer does the work there and comes back at home, and then he is free to take the name of God. But I am a school teacher, I have to think of what should I be telling my kids tomorrow. Then there is that gradation process, and this, that, my head of the school is terrible, Swami, you know, always. So many, you feel that somebody else's job is so good. I told you many times, I think, that story. I don't forget that story. Our mailman in Nagpur, he used to always tell, a very nice man, but would tell that one should never become a mailman. Swami, I tell you, I am praying to God in my next birth, you can make me a trash picker, you can make me work on the streets, you can make me do any, every all work. Never, please don't make me a mailman. It is so difficult a job. And that day they used to go, even now they go by bicycle. they have a bicycle and put the mails every door. And he said, look, I kept the bicycle and went to deliver the mail in the house. By the time I came back, somebody had let out the air in my tire. Now I am stuck there. Then when it got delayed, my boss scolded me for being late. What can I do? I want to just get it. No use doing this work. And what to speak of spiritual evolution in this kind of work when you are so disgusted? Everybody's work is, one feels like that, let me change my job and then things will become better. I am looking for another job, another opportunity. Many tell that I am looking for some better opportunity, then spiritual practice will be very good. Or if they are aged, and when they are close to retirement, then they have that another idea that during the working days nothing much can be done, Swami, you know. But I am looking for my retirement. One gentleman keeps on telling me these days that I am looking for retirement. Once I get retired, then I will just take off in the spiritual skies. So, it is not at all that simple, friends. It is, I have seen many people getting retired. But not that their lifestyle changes just because of retirement. It is, if you have not groomed yourself to convert your work in spiritual discipline, then after retirement, your idleness also you cannot convert into spiritual discipline. Rather, it is much difficult, much more difficult to do that. It is only, I had a nice saying and I have experienced the truth of it, that only busy people find time. Never the lazy people. People can be divided into two classes, busy and lazy. So what do you want to be, Triveni? So only busy people find time. Those who do not have any work, they just while away most of the time. We feel that if we have lot of time, then, I will just sit meditating and merge myself into God. I had that idea before, but gradually I have come to understand after many experiments that it doesn't work like that. That one of our, we had in, they, after coming to this monastic life and working in our different centers, many times this idea comes, I am really working hard here, lot of work and lot of projects going on here. I want to have a time just for myself. I will go in a secluded cave and there I will perform spiritual practice, meditation day and night. And all of us get that idea. But when you try, you know that it is not that simple at all. Past presidents, he used to describe that what a mendicant or a Swami who is right now feeling in this center that there is a lot of work, especially we have many who have to do the work of accounts and very taxing. So they get the feel every now and then that let me go and have some meditational vacation for 5 years or so. They start from 5 years, 5 months becomes more than one can bear. So, I mean, from the spiritual practice point of view. So, he said, now this man, he knows that his accounts work will start at 8 in the morning, and therefore he takes the care to get up very early, and so that he can spend some time at least in meditation, an hour or so, before getting ready to go to work. Now, when he is there in a cave, he thinks that what is the urgency of getting up early? The whole day is there for me. There is no other work to do. So I can enjoy sleeping a little more. The mind gets into this mode of laziness. In Sanskrit, the great word is there, tamasic, tamas. Tamas is that inertiatic tendency. One gets into that inertiatic mode. And then, you know, he then gets up. Now he doesn't have, instead of 5 a.m. or 4 a.m., this gentleman now gets up at about 8 o'clock. Because what? No need to, you know, get up early. The whole day is there to do meditation. So instead of 5 o'clock, gets up at 8 o'clock. Earlier, because of the whole urgency, he would quickly, in 5 minutes, he will do the brushing of teeth and other things, and quickly, because there isn't much time, it is all very well disciplined. So we'll come and sit in meditation, because there is not much time. If he wastes this, then he will not get during the whole day. So he is very particular about time, very disciplined. But this man now has whole day, you know, for meditation. So, you will see, and this is literally too true. Instead of 5 minutes, this person wastes half an hour for nicely brushing the teeth, you see. Because the teeth have to be kept clean, is it not? So, instead of 5 minutes, spend half an hour for that purpose. Nothing else to do. So then afterwards he says that a big work of brushing the teeth has just been done. Let me relax a little bit before starting for meditation. Actually, you know, you will see that nothing much gets accomplished by such things. It is then after a while one realizes that it is not easy to meditate. Therefore, they tell that, well, you say you want to go to perform austerities and spend time in meditation, and therefore you want to go somewhere else. But is it not that you have come here, leaving your home and heart, just for that purpose? Now, after coming here just for that purpose, you want to go away from here for again the same purpose. What is this? So, the mind plays lot of tricks. As they say, it is an old wisdom and it very well fits here. The grass always looks greener on the other side of the fence. So nice, you know, they must be having some special seed, special this thing. No, you go to that compound and you will see that your lawn looks better. So it is like that. Therefore, whatever work one has got because of the circumstances, because of one's skills, because of the necessity of that time, you do that work. That is your dharma. Here dharma does not mean religion in the sense of this somebody is Jewish, somebody is a Christian, somebody is a Hindu, and one should live in one's own religion. That is not the idea here. It is here dharma does not mean a particular organized religion or such thing. Dharma means particular path that will be the instrument or vehicle to evolve. It is always it appears that somebody else's path is better for us than the one that I am following. Swami Vivekananda's book Karma Yoga gives a very beautiful chapter, the second chapter of that book. It is very illustrative of this great principle. Each is great in his own place. Each is great. Each of us are great in whatever work has come to us, because by doing that work as worship, that very work, when we do it as worship, that work has the potential to lead us to the highest, to God. We are God. And that work will become the great vehicle for us to take us to that goal. And therefore, don't curse the work that has come to you. There the story is given, that story is from Mahabharata. In that chapter, Vivekananda describes that story very beautifully, that there was one mendicant. He was performing lot of austerities in a forest, and he was, when he was meditating in the morning, a bird on the tree under which he was sitting, a crow, did something, and then some leaves or something fell on his head. And his meditation got disturbed by that. And the meditation was not really that divine meditation, but just about some peculiar concentrations. So that has given him some powers. So he looked at that crow with that gaze of anger. And it was so powerful that the crow got burned there, reduced to ashes. This fellow felt so happy, elated. Oh, see, my tremendous powers. I have not been meditating for vain. I have now acquired this power. Then it became time for him to go to beg alms from the village. So he went to the town there in the, and then asked at one door for alms. And when he called, a lady answered that, wait. And this man thought, that lady doesn't know my powers, who am I? Then that lady, another voice he heard, hey, I am not a crow or a sparrow to get burnt. Don't think that I am going to be burned by your anger. And that immediately struck him in a big way. How did this lady knew of what happened in the forest? So he patiently waited. When the lady came with some food, then he humbly asked her that, how did you know of that incident? That incident was not known to you, but how that the lady spoke of that, and that dealt a very big blow on his ego. The lady said, I don't do any austerities or anything like you do, but I perform my duties sincerely. My husband is sick, and I was serving him, and therefore I couldn't come immediately to give alms to you. I do my work sincerely. But if you want to know more of this great science of Karma Yoga, the yoga of action, then I suggest, she gave a referral, and go to another place for further education. What was that place? A butcher. a butcher's shop. Now this man thought, oh, I am such a pure mendicant and this I have to learn now for this spiritual wisdom from somebody who is a butcher. He didn't like that. It is, but he had to go. So he went there. Again he saw the butcher was doing his business. He was weighing the meat, giving it to the customers, taking money from them, calculating and all that. He was dealing his... He said, wait, sit till I finish. Now he had to wait. And then he got that knowledge from butcher that, yes, by performing one's duties, whatever duties have come to your way, it is do those. It is because every work, each and every work, howsoever its outer shape may be, each of these works have the same, not more or less, same capability of taking you to your goal if you do it in the discipline of worship. The same work can be done as worship. If you think that no, this work is not good, then other work is also equally not good for you, because it is not the work that takes you to your goal, but it is the attitude of devotion and detachment that takes you to the goal. It is not the outer shape of the particular work. Whatever work you are doing is fine. It is like the example that we do. Whatever make of your car is, doesn't matter. Important thing is going in the right direction, you know. It is not dependent on whether you have a Mercedes or a Cadillac or a Toyota or whatever. Any car that you have to drive it according to in the right direction. That is important. That makes it go to the right destination. So whatever work that we are doing, each work is a vehicle. And so let us not think about, I should have this vehicle, my car isn't that good, I thought it is the best one, but look, my neighbor has recently bought another, that I should have that. Don't think of all that. Your car is the best one for you. And what you need to do is to drive it to the destination in the proper directions. And that direction is the important thing. Now, from the next verse, I question a new kind of very important related topic begins with the question of Arjuna. The question is really great. Arjuna has become the mouthpiece of all of us, that we all want to strive to reach the goal. But in spite of our tremendous desire to go in that direction, who makes us go in the reverse direction? Who makes us not go in the proper direction? That is called sin here. Sin is not by which you go to the hell or something, but sin means that you know that this is what you should do, this is the right thing to do. But in spite of your desire to do the right thing, what is that? We all feel that in our life, that in spite of our best desire to do the exact right thing that takes us to goal, somebody pulls us. Some forces, they intervene. And in spite of us, like a hijacked person, goes to a different place than wanted to go, sets out to go somewhere, but then like those many that hijack plane, then the hijackers take it to some other place. So it is, we get as it were hijacked and end up in doing that which we never consciously wanted to do, in saying that which we never wanted to say, in acting in such a way we never thought we should be acting like that. Why? What makes us do that? Tell me that. So that is the question. We shall try to see the question and the answer in details next Friday. So any questions? That is not the question. Yeah. Any question, or we shall conclude with the closing prayers. Gita Sugita Kartavya Kimanyat Shastra Vistarayi Ya Swayam Padmanabhasya Mukha Padmadvinisrita Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko Mantrah Tasya Namaniyani Karma Ekam Tasya Devasya Seva Shri Krishna Arpanamastu.